groups. Hallelujah, brothers. Amen. Good to see the brothers.
Yes.
So this morning was our daily life, and I guess should explain, it seems like it's not that much our daily life in a sense of from here on, but our daily life for the last 20 years, right? That's where the Lord really comes in like this, in our real life, daily life like this. And this is how we get exposed. This is how we get helped like this. So anyway, this morning now, we're coming to our family life. You know, our view of the family really needs to be uplifted. It is not a place where we just exist between the meetings, right? We have the church life, and then when we're not in the meetings where things really count, then we're at home just kind of biding our time and existing, sleeping, eating, being with the kids, all that stuff, you know, doesn't count. It's really, no, that's what counts. That's where it's at. Acts 2 is very clear. And in the recovery, this is what we want to get to. We want to recover Acts 2, right? And in Acts 2, it's day by day and house to house with simplicity and joy. They're partaking of their food. They're living their normal lives at home, in their houses, where it's happening. Yeah, they're in the temple and this and that, but most of it is happening in the homes. And because there's something going on in the homes, in the families, the Lord is just adding day by day those who are being saved. Brother Lee in the fellowship on the vital groups, he made a point about this word being saved. It was really good. Actually, I don't even know if it made it into the books or not, but I recall it in the actual meetings. He made this point, you know, it's normal for ones to be being saved. It's not like you meet them on the street, you speak with them, they get saved, and they're done, but a process. You meet with them, it takes some time. And with our families, the gospel is it can be prevailing, especially if we have kids that are, you know, maybe 10, 11, and younger. Who's got kids that are 10 and under? Oh, man, you guys have secret weapons. You have secret weapons that you, I'd like to alert you. But they're going to get older and it's going to get harder. Not impossible, but with everything, the older we get, the harder it gets. But with little kids, they just make friends. They just do it. And it's hard for them not to. It's just something in them. They're at the park and they meet somebody on a slide or on a swing or something, and then they're friends. And how good, how easy. And then they come and they introduce you to their new friend. I tell you, this happened to us so many times. And then the kid is not there alone, usually. There's a mom or a dad lingering around there. And then you just walk up to them, or they walk up to you. Looks like our kids are friends. Hi, I'm Peter. What's your name? You're right away. It's a warm door. It's just warm door right away. So normal. And then the friends want to come over. So what's that? That's visitation.
Wow.
They're coming over to your house, and they don't drive themselves there. They're too young for that. So who comes? Their parents, who you met at the park. Good to see you again. Hey, Mike. And after maybe four or five times, they come in for some coffee or something. Day by day, house to house, the Lord adding together those who are being saved. And then you look back and you go, how did that? That was easy. We've got some ones who we met years ago, and we still have contact with them. And it was just like this. So anyway, our daily life happens in our family life, okay? And in our family life, of course, our family life is for the church life. Our family life should actually be a miniature of the church life. It's the church life on a cellular level. This is Noro Chen's word. Our family life, the family is like the cellular level of the church life. If the cells aren't healthy, then the church life, how can it be healthy? But if there's something going on in the family life, then that will affect positively, hopefully, the whole church life. One brother said lately, he said, the husband should be the elder, and the wife should be the deacon, and the kids are the saints. So every little family is a little locality there. You have an elder, you have a deacon, and you have the saints. And it's, you just bear fruit. You just live this way and you bear fruit. So anyway, again, we'd really like to uplift the view of our family life. And I was considering, you know, lately, of course, we're not here, you know, and I have to be quite careful about this, because this is my full-time thing, is to produce material for kids and, you know, all of this. We are not here with the children's ministry or a family ministry like this. We are here for God's economy. Amen. 100%. We are here for the building up of the body of Christ. We are not here for any side hustle, side show, side thing. We are not focused on the family. Let them do that. We are focused on the body of Christ. Amen. That's what we're focused on. And for that, you have all of these ministries, right? I mean, I served with the high school and junior hires for like 30 years. And intrinsically, I feel I still am, because it's one piece. It's one piece. It really is. Even now, you know, though I've been asked to help like this with the kids, and that might be a kind of a ministry, all of the ministries are for the ministry, are for the ministry. And I was very impressed lately where Paul, he speaks about, right? I mean, sure, he tells Timothy, fully accomplish your ministry. But then in Ephesians 4, he speaks about being perfected unto the work of the ministry. So the perfecting, we need to be perfected to the work of the ministry. Amen. It's really good. It's not be perfected to your own ministry. But the perfecting, we need the joints of rich supply to keep us in line and in our lane and clear that this is for the ministry. And so the ministry is for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. And there's no other book, it seems, in the New Testament that can compare to the heart of the New Testament. Of course, the heart of the heart is the book of Ephesians. And I was impressed lately that, you know, I don't know, but it seems that when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, somewhere in his mind was the family. It just kind of stuck there. And it pops out every once in a while. Even in the prayer in the heart of the heart of the heart, Ephesians 3, right? Even in the prayer, he bows his knee unto the Father. What? In whom? Yeah, every family, right? In heaven and on earth is named. Why does he mention the families in that prayer? What is this? I still don't know what this is, but it's there. There's something, he's got this thought, even in the prayer that the Lord would make his home in our heart, somewhere in that is the family. Croswell, I don't know what that means, brother, but this is a major prayer. This is God's economy in action, right? Making his home in our heart. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth, the height, the width, you know, the length is, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of God, right? This prayer is amazing, but it starts out with this concept of the family. So anyway, a lot happens for God's economy in the family, in the family. You know, like I said, I don't know what that means, him mentioning that there. But then later on, in Ephesians chapter 6, he just got through talking about the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5. And then he knows he's going to touch the warrior in 6, right, with the full armor of God. And he starts off Ephesians 6, he comes back to the family again. This is the book of Ephesians. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long in the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. He spends some time there on the families in Ephesians chapter 6. I think I shared about this last time. I don't know, but I'm going to share it again now. Because Paul Onika says, repetition is penetration. So this is Ephesians 6. And then you look at the footnote, brothers, in Ephesians 6, footnote 1 for verse 1. Can somebody look that up real quick? And
children?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, please. Thank you.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
And exhorting the children, is this the
verse or this? Just the note. And all the father said, but that's okay. We need that. We need the troubles.
Verses
go ahead.
1 through 9 deal with the relationship between children and fathers and between slaves and masters.
Yeah.
Between the section on the church of the bride and the section on the church of the warrior.
Right.
If we neglect the points dealt with in verses 1 through 9, we cannot be a proper bride or a proper warrior.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
In the exhortations in these
How about
verses,
that?
Paul made one key point.
Very important lesson for us to learn. Sorry, I'm emphasizing.
For the sake of the church life, we need to have a proper human living in this present age.
For the sake of the church life, we need to have... Thank you. So that's why this matter of the families is on his mind somewhere, because he's so practical. How can you say, oh, we have the bride and we have the warrior when your family life is a mess? And you're just altogether natural at home with your kids. And we're fooling ourselves if we've got this case. We need to let the Lord into our family life and spend some time with him on this. Lord, how are things for the family life? We cannot have the bride or the warrior unless we take care of this. You can't skirt around it, because this is where we live our life. This is what's real. Okay, so can we look at Malachi 2. It's the last book, as you know, of the Old Testament. Verse 15. Okay, if you have it, let's read it all together. Ready? Go. But did he not make them one? And the remnant of the Spirit was his. And why the one? He sought the seed of God. Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one be treacherous with the wives of his youth. Okay, and then we'll get to verse 16 later on. So he sought the one. He made the two, the husband and the wife, one. And then he asked rhetorically, he doesn't want you to answer. He knows the answer. He's about to tell you, but he just poses the question first. Why the one? Why are they two? Why are these two one? Why is that? Because he was after something. He's after the seed of God. He's after the seed. And so then you ask, then what's so important about the seed? Well, there's a lot that happens when you have the seed. Number one, you have image. You have an increase. You have an expression. Number two, if you have enough of those expressions, enough increases, eventually you have dominion. You subdue the earth. You fill the earth and subdue it. And that's the order back in Genesis. First, it fill the earth, and then you subdue it. So how is the way for us to subdue the earth? Well, let's fill it. Let's fill it with our kids. That's one way. That's one way. Pharaoh knew this way, because when the children of Israel began to increase and multiply in Egypt, he got concerned. And that's when he began to enact a twofold strategy. One of them was with the adults, and with them it was, let's just occupy them. Take away their hay, make them work harder, right? So with us as adults, we have to be careful that our work does not consume us and occupy us. But number two, with the kids, it wasn't just occupy them, it was kill them. And so any male that was to be born was to be put to death, because he was concerned. Not only was there the image there, but there was the dominion there. And he could have lost everything if he would have allowed that to happen. Very interesting. Brother Ricky mentioned on this point, he said, What also would have happened if the males would have been killed? Well, he said there wouldn't have been anybody for the Hebrew females to marry. So they would have had to have intermixed with the Egyptians, and then we would have lost everything. There wouldn't have been the expression. You wouldn't have had the image. So it goes back to image and dominion. And that comes from the seed. So he sought the seed of God. That's what's on his heart. So when you're looking at your kids, you know, full of chocolate on their face and a mess on the floor, think, he's after that. He's after the seed. This is what he wants. Okay. So in this time, we'd like to mention a few things, both to you and to the sisters afterwards. I need to stop by 1:40 so that we like to have a time in groups and then some corporate overflow. So there are some things that we like to mention to both you and them, but then there are some specific things we just like to mention to the brothers. One of the things that we like to touch with both you and the sisters is you know, some of the things, and it's not an inclusive list, but some of the things that our kids need from us. And they're looking primarily to you as the Father for these things. We like to say, Christ is ahead of this household. And sure, you know, hopefully, amen. But I think he would say, yeah, but you're the head of this house. Don't shirk it all on me. I made you the head of the house. I'm your head, but you're the head of this house. We need to see our responsibility before the Lord as the head of our households. This is a big thing. It's in our hands what will become of our household. I really appreciated Joshua. His heart was clear on this. He even said, okay, that's it. I'm going to make a stance. I'm going to make a choice. There's all kinds of stuff happening out there. But as for me and my house, not just me, but my house, I'm making the decision for me and my house. Call me what you want. Call me old-fashioned or paternal or something. But I'm making the decision for my house. As of me and my house, we are not only going to believe in the Lord, we're going to serve Jehovah. This is what our house is for. Our house is a serving of Jehovah house. And I made the decision. Wonderful. How good. That just heads everything up. Does somebody have a coat? Can I see your coat real quick? Sorry.
Just the coat?
Just the coat, yeah. I mean, you look around today, brothers, and the whole world is just in a heap of collapse. Thanks. Right? It's just in a heap of collapse. Everything's a mess. Everything's a mess. What the kids are seeing in school, what they're hearing in school, hearing over on that platform and that space, it's really troubling. But when they come into your home, when they come home, that home needs to be headed up. Amen. And we, as the head of that household, we need to take the lead to be headed up. Amen. The church needs to take the lead to be headed up on a larger scale. But in our household, dads, we got to take the lead to be headed up. When we seek the Lord and say, Lord, I do not agree with confusion in this house, with collapse in this house. I'm going to try. I'm not going to be successful all the time, but I'm going to try to have a time with you in the morning, if at least when I'm in the shower, to open up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm going to do something. We've got to head up this house. When the Father takes the lead, then the whole house, and I have to find the right spot. When the Father takes, the whole house is headed up. See how that works? If the mom does, that might be okay. But the Father's the one who needs to take the lead. Thank you, brother. Let's head up our households like this. And so you need to get with your wife and say, sweetheart, what can we do? What can we do now to take a step to further head up our house? And let's see how that'll work. But some of the things that the kids need, right? Okay, they need food, they need shelter, they need all of these things, they need love, you know, all of these things. This is not exhaustive. But they need to be preserved. They need to be preserved. it might be helpful for us to get a little bit of education on what's out there. Carefully look at the news and look at some things to see what they're facing. It's a lot. Kids are facing a lot. It may surprise you. So we need to help them to be preserved from that. And that's not always just no, don't. We may need to have some talks with them. We may need to have some talks with them about things earlier than we were planning to. Silly talks that you think you should never have to have, like, I'm so glad you're a boy. It's so good. Well, Dad, of course I'm a boy. I know, of course you're a boy. You're a boy. And you know what? You'll always be a boy. Duh. Duh. So simple, isn't it? You'll always be a boy. And you know why? That's because you, God made you that way. And there's no mistake. Why are you talking like this, Dad? Oh, I'm just silly. But I'm just glad you're a boy. You know? And then maybe they go to school one day and they find out, oh, what's your gender? And then they go, oh, now I know why Dad was talking to me like that. You got to have talks with them about these things. God made a husband and a wife, one man and one woman, forever, for their whole life. This is marriage. It's beautiful. You may have to have talks with them. And then you've got to stay engaged with them. You've got to be proactive and ask them, how was school today? Did you hear anything? What was it like at school today? What did they say? You've got it, because you never know what day. And we hear stories all the time about teachers with an agenda. Sorry, most teachers haven't, maybe not most, depending where you live, maybe most. Austin, maybe most. Huntsville, it's happening in Huntsville. If it happens in Huntsville, Texas, it's happening everywhere. We hear stories of teachers coming in and having the kids stand up in school, introducing themselves and letting us know what gender they prefer. And then we hear stories of teachers telling the kids, you know, some homes have a mommy and a daddy, and that's okay. Some homes only have a mommy, and that's fine. Some homes only have a daddy, and that's okay. Some homes have a mommy and another mommy, and that's also okay. And the way they talk about it is so normal. And some homes have two daddies, and that's also wonderful. No, it's not. It's not wonderful. It's not at all. It's against the way God ordained it to be. It's upside down. You all should get this book called Upside Down and just read it to your kids at nauseam. Actually, it's not much reading. It's just pictures. They need to know certain things are wrong. Today, everything's okay. No, everything is not okay. Some things are against God's ordination of those things, and they need to know it's okay to say that's wrong. That's not right. We don't need to be on the warpath. But just within yourself, you know, that's not right. I'm going to close myself off to that. And then let them know, if you hear things at school like that are kind of odd and awkward, come talk to us about it. We'd love to talk to you about that. That's what we're here for. So we need to preserve them. Then we need to prepare them. There's a lot of preparation that needs to come. I don't have time to say much on this. Okay. And then we need to inspire them. Amen. This may be a shock. We need to inspire them to such an extent that inspiration turns into aspiration. To be inspired is one thing. That's to have a feeling about something. You get stirred up about something. But to have an aspiration, that enters into this thought of a plan, a goal. I want to do something. It's not just I'm touched about that thing. Inspiration comes and it flies away. But if the inspiration can turn into an aspiration, then they may set their life course to that way. This is what happened to Hudson Taylor, right? His father was burdened for China. This is where he got it from. His father was so burdened for China, he couldn't help but talk about it. China was on his heart all the time, and he just spoke about China all the time, about the need there. And when other pastors would come and sit in his house, pastors who were responsible for sending out missionaries, he would ask them, are we sending anybody to China this year? And they'd always say no. And he'd be visibly shaken. Again, nobody going to China. And the kids were watching this. The kids heard this out of his mouth all year. And then they heard again, nobody's going. And this bothered him, and this bothered his kids. And so little Hudson Taylor, when he was 4 and 5 years old, was often heard saying, when I am a man, I will be a missionary and I will go to China. When he was 4 and 5 years old, inspiration turned into aspiration. You know what he did? And he became a man? You know the story. He went to China. Did he go to China? He went to China, and that got into him as a child because of what was coming out of his dad's mouth. And so we were enjoying lately, you know, it's true that man looks on the outward form and God looks at the heart. But it's not too hard for us to have at least a peek of what's in your heart as well. Because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So, brothers, what's in our heart will just come out. And then it'll come out of our mouth, it'll go into our kids. And if what is inspiring us is the football game, or the stocks, or the real estate prices, or the fill in the blank, and it's okay for these things, but if this is what is on our lips all the time, this is clearly what's in our heart. And then we shouldn't be surprised when our kids can't wait for the next game or the next this or the next that. And that actually turns into an aspiration in them. And now they want to be the best this or the best that. And where's God's economy? Where's the hopes of being full-time and opening up a city or these things? It may not be there so much because maybe there was a lack on our part that we were being inspired by other things and speaking about other things at home all the time, and our kids just pick it up, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, they want to be what we've been talking about all the time. So anyway, aspiration. So if you can, I need to move quickly. If we could look at Judges, the book of Judges. Chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. This was fresh to me. This is on this point of, brothers, if we want our kids to be inspired about something, we have to be inspired about that thing. And so, Lord, what is it that is inspiring us? You're not too old to be inspired. If we don't have something that gets us up out of bed in the morning, we should. I tell you, I lose sleep a lot about material for our kids. What is the need? What can we do? What? Let me show you something that I was up last night until 3 o'clock working on. So Sorry, I'm tired this morning. I'm tired but inspired. Neighborhood children's meeting. What about this? What about this? If you could be a fly on the wall in the Harvey House, the last month you'd be hearing about neighborhood children's meetings. Honey, you know, while she's there cooking, what can we do for the home meetings, for the homes to have some material? Well, sweetheart, what if you do this? No, that won't work because, well, how about it? And then the kids, you know what I like to do when I was a kid? I like to do crossword puzzles. Oh, crossword puzzles are great. This is what we're doing in our house. We're talking about China. You know what I mean? We're our lips are full of the holy things. We also talk about school and about football. I like football too. But football is not king on my lips. And I don't even know if I should announce this.
It's too late now.
Yeah. It's going to be announced tomorrow in Irving, Texas. Brother Ricky Acosta will give the official announcement. So as long as this tape stays with us until Lord's Day, then I won't be. So we are producing little handouts, not handouts, printouts, that has an activity, a verse, a song, some points on it, coloring pages, specifically made for you to have a neighborhood children's meeting. Wow. With topics, it's all there. Right now, and this name may change, but for right now, it's called Bible Time for Kids. And it's the whole thing, it can be colored. This one is on beginnings and endings. Wow. Beginnings and endings. And on the back, you have a crossword puzzle, and you've got a song with the notes. You have a little, oh, there's a lot on here. It's like the old Highlights magazines. Yeah. It's like that, but one page. And you can print it out right from your home as much as you want. This one's beginnings and endings. This one is boundaries. How about that for a neighborhood children's meeting? Boundaries. You know, God told the sea, you can go this far and no more. There's boundaries. There should be boundaries. So this one has got, you know, all of these things you can color in. Some of us would like to never stop growing. But if you're 100 feet tall, I see that kid, how do you live in the house? Aren't you glad there's boundaries on how tall you can be? And then a song. And okay, this one is the bees. God created the bees, and then on the back you have a maze that all looks like honeycombs. This is the kind of stuff we talk about in our house. And so now my oldest, she's 18, you know what she wants to do? We've been talking about this kind of stuff, Brother Tim, for years. You know who did most of the editing for the first Family Time videos? A 12-year-old girl. You know who that was? My daughter. She did most of the video editing for those. If you go back and look at that, she did a great job. You know what she wants to do her whole life now? What daddy's doing. Hallelujah! Isn't that great? I mean, there's worse things that she could be doing. You know? Where did she get this from? It came from our lips. It came from, and we were inspired. We were inspired. And then there was an aspiration in us. And that same thing happened in our kids. Praise the Lord for His mercy. It's not a guarantee, but surely if we can have a way to live inspired lives, we should really seek the Lord. Lord, I'm tired. If I'm dead, if I'm old, I'm tired of it. What is it? Is it chair arranging? What do you want to put on my heart? Chair arranging? Oh, those chairs, they've got to be right. Sweetheart, did you see those chairs in the meeting? It was 5, 5, 5, 6, and 5. Who put the 6th one there? I had to go fix it in the middle of the meeting. Then the wife says, yeah, I was so glad you did that. I look much better. Your kids are going to be chair arrangers. Or at least have an eye for chairs in every meeting when they grow up. What is it that inspires you in the church life? Maybe you should get with your wife. How about we start a neighborhood children's meeting? And hey, we've got something to help you. How about we start a neighborhood children's meeting? Start talking about this with your wife and with your kids. What can we do? We also want to make little invitations that they can print out and color and customize and hand out. Start what? Let's live inspired lives. And so, Judges, and then we'll stop with this. Oh, there's a little more we need to do, so I do need to be quick. It says this, among the divisions of Reuben, this is verses 15 and 16, there were great resolutions of heart. And then 16 says, why did you sit among the sheepfolds, listening to the pipings for the flocks? In the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Brother Lee points out there are two groups of people here. One of them had great resolutions and great searchings of heart, and the other ones were sitting among the sheepfold and listening to the pipings of the flock. They were just caring for being rested and did not move because they desired a life of ease and comfort and amusement. So some were being inspired. Some had great resolutions of heart, and some, I'd rather not. I'd rather sit by the sheepfold and enjoy the pipings of the flock, a life of ease and comfort. But in Acts 2:17, it says that your young men will see visions. And I like this. And your old men shall dream things in dreams. Now, brothers, I'm not saying we're old, but we're not young. Some of us, anyway, are not so young. If you're young, see visions. Oh, the full-time training is the best place to see vision after vision. But if you're not so young, heading towards the other side, our job is to dream. When was the last time you dreamed something? My wife said, I married a dreamer. She said, and being from a communist country, Romania, it killed me. Because in Romania, nobody can dream. Under communism, you can't dream. Just stay at work. Don't aspire to be anything. Just stay in your place. And then she marries this American that's dreaming all the time. And at first she hated it, but after a while she learned to love it. She is more of a dreamer sometimes than I am. The principle of a dream is that in it, something impossible happens. Talk with your family. I have a dream. One day, I'll come in and all the chairs will be perfectly set up. None out of line. I know it's impossible. It's impossible. But maybe one day you'll come in and through your labor and your training of the other ones and your service. Okay, that's... Don't be afraid to have dreams. If you don't have dreams, who's going to do it? What is it? What is it that you would that you feel the Lord may be saying, this is in your lane. This is something I like to put, I have put in your hands. Rise up. This is your, forget about the impossibility of it. Maybe it's moving somewhere. Maybe it's helping with some service. Get in the fellowship. I think it was either Hudson Taylor or George Mueller that said, God works in three steps. Impossible, difficult, and then done. So everything seems impossible. One of the first words I learned in Romanian was impossible. It's impossible. I wouldn't stand for it. Oh. Okay. I need to stop here. Let me just read these points, okay? With regards to marriage. Malachi 2:16 says that God hates divorce, and then he says, take heed to your spirit. And then in Ephesians 5, we're told what we have to do is we have to love our wives. It's interesting, in Titus 2:4, the wives are told to love us too, so it's not just one way, but in Ephesians, we're told to love our wives and give yourself up for her. Here are 4 points from the ministry of some things that the husbands should do. Number one, love your wife as yourself. That's Ephesians 5:33. Love your wife as yourself. Number two, not be bitter against her. This is easy to do, especially as our marriage goes on. Don't hold anything in your heart against her. That's Colossians 3:19. Dwell together with her according to knowledge, as with the weaker vessel. So she's weaker, that means we're weak, right? But she's weaker. But you need to understand that. Sometimes she needs a little space, or she needs you to do things that you don't understand. It's okay. Help her with that. And sometimes, yes, even sometimes, we need to just sit down with her and talk with her. Just let her talk. Brother Paul Hahn, he shared lately too. He said, sisters need to talk. Our wives need to talk. And he said, if they don't talk with us, the Bible said that Eve talked with the devil. And then she really got confused. She got deceived and confused. Listen, if our wives have something against us and we don't care enough to, what's wrong, sweetheart? And really talk with her, she may go on a walk and have a talk with the devil and get really deceived. And who knows what's going to be in our head now. We got to be careful about these things. And then number four. So that was 1 Peter 3:7. And then number four. Assign her honor as to a fellow heir of the grace of life. Mm. Brother, she's your partner. 1 Corinthians 11:9 says, the man was not created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. How precious. She's your helper. We should just assign her honor upon, we should speak of her honorably in her presence and in the presence of our children. We should speak honorably about our wives. She is a source of supply. Okay, we're out of time. I'm sorry I went over. Perhaps we can stop now and get into groups. Praise the Lord, brothers. Amen. That was short, sorry. But let's dream dreams. Amen. Let's live an inspired life that would have others to have an aspiration, and let's take care of our wives. Okay.
We have about 7 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Whether we want to group up or